Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and began modeling at age 15. She's earned two master's degrees and a doctorate. For 30 years, she's been a trainer for various companies, and since 2006, has been the president of Inspiring One, LLC. She's also a volunteer and speaker for Haven, which is dedicated to eliminating domestic violence and sexual assault in Southeast Michigan. Her name, Dr. Tracy Thompson, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Tracy Thompson, the president of Inspiring One, LLC. Doctor, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had a really great childhood. I grew up on the east side of Detroit, and my parents, Grace and James, had two sons, two older brothers of mine, and I was a baby girl. And I had a fabulous best friend who lived right next door to me. And we grew up, we just probably knew each other from the womb, so that was like my only sister, if you will. I went to Berry Elementary School, and I had a great education there and continued on until I went to Cooley High. And I enjoyed growing up in Detroit. It's a lot of fun.
Tracy, what's the biggest thing you learned from your mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
Ah, that's a great question. Biggest thing I probably learned from my dad is really just be true to yourself and, you know, go after what it is you want to go after and be honest about it. And I think for my mother, she always says be a lady, you know, always be kind and courteous. And she would always say, you know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So it made me realize that I should treat people very nicely.
Dr. Tracy Thompson, you're a lot of things, and one, you are a lady. speaking of being a lady, you're 15 years old, you're at Cooley High School, and you begin a modeling career.
Yes.
How was it you began modeling at age 15?
Well, I started at a place called Patricia Stevens Modeling and Finishing School, and it really was there to teach you how to be a lady and the social graces and how to sit properly and those kinds of things. My best friend Karen, who I mentioned earlier, she went there and she told me, you know what, they're teaching us how to put makeup on. I was like, I want to go there, because at age 15, back in that day, you didn't wear makeup. So I wanted to learn how to do it when I became 16 or 17 to wear it. But I didn't realize that it was also a modeling school. And they asked me one day, would I be interested in doing a photo shoot? I saw the other ladies there doing those kinds of things, and I said, okay, sure, I guess. So to me, it was fun. So that's how I started.
Then at 17, you got makeup on, and you're doing auto shows.
Yes, I was asked to do the auto show. That was a very coveted position that many people sought after to become at least a floor model. And that's where I kind of started, with being there as a floor model working for Lincoln Mercury and passing out brochures and talking to people and talking about the automobiles. And then the following year, I became a narrator, and that was for Chrysler. And so I got a chance to travel at both times. So I was a student, high school student at Cooley High by day, and I was a woman traveling with the auto show by night.
At age 18, you leave home, you go to New York City, the big city, for a career in modeling.
Yes. Actually, it was career in fashion, because during that time, they were saying 18 years, 19 years old. You're kind of old at that point. That was the time that Brooke Shields was coming up, and she was 12 years old, and they were putting makeup on her to make her look like an 18-year-old. So I thought, you know, there's some other areas in the fashion industry that I can probably, you know, work in. So I said, okay, you know what? I will go to the school that I found out about called the Fashion Institute of Technology. So that's where I went off to New York to go to school.
You had huge dreams when you were young, Tracy, and you seized them.
Yes.
How was it you were one of the few that really seized your dreams?
Just thinking about my parents, they really gave me the freedom to be. I had very supportive brothers. I was a kid sister, but they allowed me to be and to go after what it was I wanted. I was pretty mature at the time. My parents trusted me, and they knew that I was in the fashion industry, so they thought going to school called the Fashion Institute of Technology would be a good place. Now, I thought the Fashion Institute of Technology was a school just to learn how to shop or to be a fashion coordinator, but my parents knew that it was a state university, and I had to take regular classes like macroeconomics and microeconomics, those kinds of things. So I started to learn about the industry from a business perspective, and it became more fascinating. So I got a couple of degrees from there.
What did your career in fashion and modeling teach you?
Well, the first degree was the fashion buying and merchandising, and I knew that I wanted to be in that environment and to continue to myself look beautiful and to help others as well to look beautiful. So I was an assistant buyer for Lord & Taylor in New York after I graduated, and that was another great opportunity. It was really a blessing for me at that age. At this time, I was 23 years old. I started there on the floor as a salesperson and decided I was going to apply when I graduated from the Fashion Institute of Technology. Once I graduated, I would go into the buying position and apply for it, and I got in. And I had a very supportive buyer. The head buyer supported me, so I got in there, and I knew that, you know, my career was really coming to life at that point. And it was exciting because here I was, a girl from Detroit, reading magazines on my front porch, you know, and I was actually living at that point in Northwest Detroit, sitting on the front porch, reading magazines, Vogue, and seeing all the different stores and brand names. And there I was now in the center of it all. And I was an assistant buyer in New York for Lord & Taylor and designer dresses. It was exciting.
If there's a young listener tonight that has a similar dream.
Yes.
And is sitting, watching, or reading in style, et cetera, et cetera. What advice would you give him or her?
Follow your dream, but be realistic about it. Look at your grades. Are you a student that really can be disciplined enough to sit there and to take instructions and to do your homework? I fortunately was a person that I believed that you couldn't play until you did the work. So it was a good work ethic, and I got that from my dad, who was also self-employed. And so you would do the work, and then you could play. So I would do the homework, and then I could play. So do that. Get it out of the way, and then you can relax. You can have fun. So that's what I did.
We're talking to Dr. Tracy Thompson. When we come back, we'll ask her how she got in, transferred from modeling and fashion into the training world. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Dr. Tracy Thompson, who's been a training specialist for Comcast Cable, ACN Inc., and PSCU Financial Services. Tracy, how'd you go from the fashion world modeling to the training world?
Well, actually, I was working for Hudson's, which is now Macy's, and I was a manager there, and they had training classes that they were asking the managers to do with their team, and I was trained by one of the company members that came in to show us how to do the training, and I enjoyed it. And so I was asking the other managers, hey, can I take your team of people? Can I train them? So they were like, sure. Okay, great. So we were swapping. So I found that I really enjoy training. So I asked the management team at Hudson's, you know, hey, can I be a trainer here? We've got 1,200 people. This was at our Northland store. And they said, no, we hire from the outside. And I made my mind up then. I said, you know what? I love this training stuff. I'm going to be a trainer. So I had no idea what it took to be a trainer. But I went, in the old days, you could go into the newspaper and look for a job. And I found a job in telecommunications for training. So I was interviewed. And one of the things I learned in training was that I had the ability to transfer complex concepts and make it easier for people to understand. So those concepts were really good that I could help others to understand something that might have been difficult. So I learned how to do that. And I think from that point, I was able to deliver new information to people.
Tracy, what do all great trainers have in common?
We love helping people. We love watching people grow and develop. And one of the things we always say in the business is that the light bulb comes on. When they understand a concept, for example, they'll say, oh, I got it. And you can literally see it in their eyes, the glimmer in their eyes that they've got a new concept. It's really exciting to watch people learn something new and for them to go out and do something with their lives. So I deal with a lot of adults. I don't really train children, but in corporate America, we deal with adult learning. And so I went back to school to learn how to make that light come on.
In today's world, you have to keep earning while you are learning.
Yes.
Some people find change difficult.
Yes.
The average job today is less than 5 years. Talk to us about a mindset of always learning.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many new things that are happening in the from the fashion industry to the training industry and to technology. You have to stay engaged with new learning techniques, new things about your life, information about foods and things for the home. Just there's so many different things that are around us and so many great opportunities for learning. We have schools, universities that allow you to learn from home as well, which is exciting because everyone is not a classroom student. Everyone doesn't go to school 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. So there's so many opportunities for us to learn now. You can learn on the internet, you can go to classes, taking online classes, or you can go to school like I did. I did the traditional way at the University of Michigan, Dearborn, and where I learned in classroom, but I was also working.
You're 36 years old.
Yes.
You've got it all. And you meet Prince Charming.
Yes.
And you get married.
Yes. So I thought I met Prince Charming. I affectionately call my ex-husband Satan Seed. That's what I call him. And the reason why I say that is because he really turned out to be a bad boy. He was all those wonderful things in the beginning that women would dream of. He was attentive to my needs. He was smart and charming. He had his own business. He lavished me with lovely gifts. And we did a lot of fun things together. We actually had great chemistry until I started to realize that as we continued with the marriage, he started doing things that were not healthy in his own life, in his own world. He were doing things that were not healthy. And I didn't agree with those things, but I'm not a person that wants to try and change someone.
All right, let's go back to April 21st, 2000. It's Good Friday.
Yes.
Tell us about that day.
Again, my ex and I, we had a great time together. We were out. We went to Henry Ford Museum. We went out visiting, and it was time to go home. And we were on the way back home, and he got really upset with me because I didn't listen to the way he told me to drive home, driving directions. And he began to rant and rave at me because of the way in which I decided to drive home. Now, I mean, all roads lead back home to downtown. So he got angry because I didn't follow his directions.
And what happened that evening?
Well, unfortunately, we got into a big argument. I got home, and I said, okay, I'm just going to go and watch a movie. He didn't want me to watch a movie. I took it out and went to the other room. And to make a long story short, an argument ensued. He became violent and belligerent in his language. And the next thing I knew, it was probably around 11 p.m. that evening, and he began beating me and holding me as a hostage and locking me in our closet. Now, mind you, we lived in a fabulous 10,000 square foot home. Now, this was, like I said, a fairy tale type lifestyle that we had. But it wasn't very, very, very fairy tale-ish in that closet because he took time to come in and out of the closet and beat me to the point where he began to see marks on me and he decided, okay, this must be enough. And he came in and tried to hand me medicine because he realized he'd really done something. Now, mind you, I have two older brothers. I grew up on the east side. I'm not going to be in there just kowtowing. That's just not how I'm built. I'm a strong woman, and I fought back. But when you have someone who is like 100 pounds bigger than you, who carries a gun, there's just no winning in that battle. There's just no winning.
Today, you're also a volunteer and speaker for Haven.
Yes.
Which is dedicated to eliminating domestic violence and sexual assault in Southeast Michigan.
Yes.
And you and Haven say that one out of every three homes experiences intimate partner violence.
Yes.
One out of every three homes. Tracy, come on.
Yes, Jack, and that's a very sad statistic. It really is. To me, it is a different kind of cancer that's eradicating our lifestyle. It's really eroding the fabric of American families, and it's a horrible disease. Domestic violence and sexual assault is a horrible disease, and it's real.
Haven says that over 150,000 households in Oakland County alone,
yes,
experience this. Dr. Thompson, what do you say to a woman or a man who is going through this domestic violence right now?
There's so many things that I can say, but I just want to say this, and I'm a mental health therapist, a licensed therapist as well, but get help. There is help and there's hope, and there's places like Haven. You can find them in the internet, on the phone book, and just word of mouth. There is hope. And also know that in my life, as a minister, I serve a very big God. I serve Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. And I know that He's there and He sees everything. Find your strength in God. Know that there are people out there that can help. There are volunteers. There are people that will be willing to give you a direction to make your life safe. Be safe.
Tracy, what do you say to the batterers?
Get help. Batterers, you need help. There are reasons why you batter. And I think that sometimes in our society, we ask the wrong questions about domestic violence and the victim, such as many people will always say, why don't they just leave? Why did the victim stay? I think there's a greater question to ask. Why do batterers batter? Why do they batter? That's a question that they need to ask themselves. There's a reason why they do, and there are many reasons. There's not just one specific reason why they batter, but they are broken. They need help, and it can be helped. Battering can be stopped, but the person must make that choice. They need to choose to stop the battering, and they need to also choose God, because God is a very powerful doctor and counselor, if you will.
You told me earlier that it's all about power and control.
Yes, it is. Domestic violence is about power and control. And I think that as we look into education, out of all my degrees, that's the one thing that I didn't realize with domestic violence is that it is about power and control, and that the batterers want more power and they want more control. And it's kind of an interesting twist because they feel that they're losing power and control over their lives, or they felt that they've lost it. So what they try and do is they try and gain power over someone else's life. And it's a very weak stance that they'll pick on someone, usually that won't fight back, someone that will kowtow to them and be afraid. So when people say that domestic violence is about anger, they are very, very wrong. Domestic violence is not only about anger, because domestic violence is something that's greater than just being mad at someone, angry. A person who batters, they're not going to batter some guy at a stoplight who cut him off or jump on their boss on the job. See, those are different behaviors. Domestic violence or family violence is different. They will attack a person that they have an intimate relationship with, that they believe that they can dominate. And it's about domination as well, too.
We're talking to Dr. Tracy Thompson. When we come back, we'll talk to her about Haven. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasool, and we're with Dr. Tracy Thompson, who's a volunteer and speaker for Haven, amongst other things, and she believes that, quote, domestic violence is a silent epidemic and is eroding the fabric of America. Tracy, talk to us about Haven.
Haven is an organization that has many services that they can offer. They have, for example, a 24-hour crisis support line, and I want to give that number out, which is 248-334-1274, and there's a toll-free number for Haven, which is 877-922-1274. This crisis support line is open 24 hours, and I think this is huge because a lot of times Victims don't want to be known. They want to still hide. They're afraid of being found out. But they can talk to other people, and they can be guided into a place of safety. And that's really what's important. So Haven provides various services, such as supervised parenting. They have shelters. And they also give support. They have counseling. And in fact, I was one of the counselors for Haven when I was working towards my internship.
If you want to go to the website, www.haven-oakland.org.
Yes.
It was formed in 75. It serves 30,000 people a year. You believe that one out of every three homes experiences intimate partner violence of some type. You've heard a lot of awful stories. What's the most inspiring story you've heard or seen through Haven?
I remember a time that there was a gentleman who brought his children in. He was a victim, because we know domestic violence is not just on women. Domestic violence can happen to men, as well as sexual assault. And Haven worked with them to try and help this gentleman with his children, because he didn't want his children around a woman who was belligerent and who was not going to be a good role model as a mother. So I think that was an inspiring story. But I got to tell you, if you don't mind, my own inspiring story with Haven.
Please.
This is how I got involved with Haven. As that night, as being a victim at the time of domestic violence, I ended up the next morning in the hospital at Providence Hospital. And it was very sad when they asked me, you know, when you're in triage, why are you here? And when I had to utter the words that my husband beat me, it was surreal. I couldn't believe that I was saying that. I mean, I'm like, wait a second, you know, I've got these degrees, I drive a Mercedes, I've traveled the world, but here I am sitting in a hospital as a common denominator as the rest of many, many millions of women who've experienced domestic violence and had to say, my husband beat me. Well, they asked me, did I want to talk to someone? And I said, sure. And I hadn't realized at the time when they were talking about, did I want to talk to someone, that it would be a volunteer from Haven. And I didn't know who this person was. I just knew that this person came to my bedside with unbelievable compassion. And I later learned to find out this person, she was an attorney who was volunteering her time. And I got a chance to meet her some many years later. But I was so inspired that I wanted to volunteer my time. And that's how I ended up with Haven, through volunteer work. And then became an intern as counselor and speaker and volunteering, or whatever I can do with Haven. And Haven loves volunteers, by the way.
Haven in Pontiac, Oakland County, it's using a building from the 1920s that was a convent.
Yes.
And it's trying to raise $8 million right now as we speak for a newer, better building to help these 30,000 people a year. www.haven-oakland.org. What do you say to a person who says, I'm 30 years old, I've got a high school degree, I've got three kids, I'm not working, I have to stay because I have no other choice?
I would tell them there are choices. Believe me, there are choices. Haven is only one organization that wants to help others to get out of their situation. If they use the hotline, the crisis number that I gave, the 877-922-1274 number, if they call, they can find out the different types of resources that are out there. You know, in the Bible, I go to that as well, too, because that's where I get my strength. In Philippians 4 and 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I believe that if you stand on the word, that God will show you the way. God puts people in our lives that will help us and to guide us. And I believe people who work at agencies such as Haven and other domestic violence agencies, I believe these people really work from their hearts. And there are people in this world that are guides and that will help us to find solace and find a place of safety. There are places like that.
Dr. Thompson, it's sad to say, but I'm just a victim.
That's, in my opinion, a victim thought process is just that. You're putting yourself, if someone says that, into a stance of not having any hope, feeling that there's no one like you that has experienced this, that there's no help, that stance is a very dangerous position to be in. I once had that until I learned in Haven that you're not a victim. You become a survivor when you make choices for your life, that you move past that. And you can move past that. You don't want to get stuck in a victim position. There are places that can help you.
Tracy, what's the difference between a victim and a survivor?
Oh, it's a lot of things, actually. It's your thinking. It's sort of a paradigm switch. You first must believe that you have survived a very brutal attack, or you've survived something that was pretty horrific, and you've survived it, and you move on with your life. You're surviving. You move past being a victim. In a victim role, you continuously look at yourself as more of a poor me. No one can help me. I'm just stuck here. A survivor says, that was in the past. I'm moving up and I'm moving on. And that's what I did with my life. And I believe others can do it too. I'm not any different than anyone else.
Tracy, I still love the guy. Or I still love the woman. I'm not perfect. He or she tells me, I bring it on. It's my fault.
Wow, Jack, you're saying a lot there. Actually, it's not your fault. For anyone who has been abused in domestic violence, it is not your fault. I think that our society wants you to believe that it is your fault because of what you wear, if you don't cook the right dinner, if you don't say the right things, or even drive the right direction. It's not your fault. The person that makes the decision to put their hands on you or to violate you in a physical or verbal abusive way or mental, because domestic violence is more than just a physical, it can be mental as well, too. They can mentally attack you. There's truly hope for that. That person is the one who is at fault, not the person who is being battered. There's definitely help for that. And you have to think that you've done nothing wrong. Now you need to leave that person. That person is sick. When a person can't keep their hands to themselves and they feel they're compelled enough to put their hands on someone else, that person has a problem, not you. I certainly don't have the problem because my ex-husband was, like I said, Satan. See, he was crazy enough to put his hands on me. How ridiculous is that? So, you know, I am a queen. I'm designed as a queen. That's what God built women as. We're queens. Men are kings. We're designed to be wonderful creatures here, to exist on this earth and to be kind to one another and to know that we're really special. But for us to be beat on, that's not how we're designed. That is absolutely against the whole grain of Christianity or any religion. You're not being beat on. I don't know any religion, in fact, that allows a person to be beat down like that.
Tracy Thompson, if your ex-husband is listening tonight, what do you say to him?
Get help. There is help. You're broken and you do need help. And the other thing is that I forgive you. I realize that you don't understand what's going on and why you did what you did, but I certainly forgive you for what you've done to me and all the things that you've probably done to other people as well, too. There's a God who can help you. That's what I would tell him.
A listener says, wow, you forgive him. Mm-hmm. I can't forgive my ex.
Oh, but you must. You know, forgiveness is not about really forgiving the other person and making them feel like they're off the hook or feel better. Forgiveness is about you. It's about yourself. It gives you the freedom to move on. I mean, biblically, it says you must forgive others. And I do. You know, you let that go, you release it, and you move on with your life. If you're harboring anger and resentment and you want to have vengeance towards a person, you know, it's horrible. It's something that's eating you up inside. It's wishing bad on another person, and your thoughts go into that direction, and you're consumed with negative thoughts. Bring positive energy into you. Forgive the person. Release that. Release them for their actions. It doesn't mean that you have to forget what they do because you don't want to go down that path again, but you must forgive the person and forgive yourself for making some choices, because I think that as people, when we make choices to be with a person, that's a choice that we made, but we have to forgive ourselves. We're human and we move on.
We're talking to Dr. Tracy Thompson, who's the president of Inspiring One LLC. Website, www.inspiringoneone.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Brasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Tracy Thompson, who, amongst other things, has two masters and a doctorate. Doctor, you talk about that you learned microeconomics, macroeconomics. When a woman goes shopping and saves the guy money every time, I don't know, is that microeconomics or macroeconomics?
I think he's lucky to have someone to go shopping for him. He doesn't have to go to the supermarket and go hunting like in the old days, so he should be a happy economic person.
I think what you're saying is that's the best economics.
It's the best kind, yes.
You have a great zest or enthusiasm for life.
Thank you, yes.
Tracy, how do I get that?
Oh, my gosh. Christ is my enthusiasm. That's where I get my strength. You know, there's so many wonderful scriptures in the Bible that I lean towards. I don't want to sound cliche-ish and talk about the 23rd Psalm, but that's really powerful. You know, Matthew 6 and 8, you know, don't be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of, you know, even before you ask Him. And so God knows what I have need of, and God knows what everyone has need of, even before you approach Him. So I look toward God for my inspiration.
If you want to learn more, www.inspiringone.com. Tracy Thompson, you also love clothes.
Yes.
You love bright colors.
Yeah, that's my husband. He knows.
Yellow, gold, red. Okay,
yes.
You're a walking Christmas tree every day. I used to love bright clothes, but life has beat me down, and I don't wear bright clothes anymore.
Again, it's really the mental attitude. Don't allow life to beat you down. You know, it's the same thing. You have to open your heart and be receptive to new things and new changes. Anyone can move on. We just have to make a decision, make that choice, and start looking at things in a positive way, bring positive people into our life, and that will help you as well to find people that are supportive of you. Every man isn't bad. Every woman that has done a man wrong, every woman isn't bad. Find positive people and draw them into your life and seek those people that say kind things to you.
Talk to a teenager tonight about self-confidence.
As a teenager, you have the world before you. Enjoy your life. There's so many wonderful things and opportunities that are out there that you can reach for. Reach towards people that have that experience, perhaps. Talk to people who are in that profession. But know one thing, that you are precious in God's sight, and you're precious because you are designed to do great things. That's why you're here. We all have a purpose. And I think that as a teen, you can make a choice and move forward. Grab onto that idea and stick to it and find out all those things that you need to do. Plan ahead and think about it. Write it down. See your goals. Set them. But know that you can do all things because Christ is going to strengthen you too.
How can a parent help give self-confidence to their children today?
I think that's fairly easy. You compliment the child on what they're doing. Look at their grades. Work with them in school. Go to PTAs. Take the time. Observe the things that your child has interest in. Also, look at some of their strengths. If you have a child that draws really well, maybe get them interested in an art class. If you have a child that writes well, maybe help them to write poetry or write a novel or something. But look at the child, listen to them, and really pay attention to your child.
Dr. Thompson, what's happiness, and who are the happiest people you know?
Wow, what's happiness? That's a great question. I think we all determine our own happiness. I don't think that there's a textbook answer to what happiness is. I think as I've evolved through life, I found happiness in some of the oddest places, and I've seen beauty in some of the oddest places for me. So happiness is where you believe, and it's within your heart, and what you determine makes you happy. Some of the happiest people I've found are those who have followed their dream, those who know the word of God, who follow that, and who really have a zest for life. Those are happy people that allow themselves to be true to thine self. And that's a quote that I always have that I like to say, to thine own self be true. And look inside yourself. Find happiness there. It's around you.
I admire you for a lot of reasons. One is because you've surrendered to God.
Yes.
You truly trust God.
I do.
God's way is not our way. That's obvious in my life. What I want is different than what He wants for me, and I always fight with Him.
You know, I'll tell you, there's no fighting with God. God is going to win. You really, really want to go the way God wants you to go, because God wants good things for us. I believe that if you seek him and you really listen, and you listen internally, and you look for things, he will answer. He'll provide the answers. There's no fight between God. He's going to win every time. But he will also, let you do what you think is going to be best for your life. And it can be a very hard road for you if you don't listen and observe the things in your life that are going wrong. We have choices to make. I serve a God that gives us free choice and free will, but I stay up under him.
The most used verse in the Bible is, "Be not afraid." A lot of people today are afraid. What do you say about, are you ever afraid?
I think that the Bible, it says, fear not. And it's true, fear not. But you have to be aware that there are things in this world that are very dark and that are very scary. But I believe that if you have fear and you live in fear, sometimes that's really false evidence appearing real. That's F-E-A-R. And it's false. It's really not there. And sometimes we worry about things that don't even come to fruition. We worry about things and we fear things that don't even happen to us. So I think we need to go ahead and live our life and be smart about it and not live in fear, because when you operate out of fear, you don't make smart choices or smart decisions. I think that you hold yourself back.
I've read where 88% of what we worry about never happens.
Yes.
So
that's right.
As our time winds down together tonight, what advice do you give to our young listeners?
Oh, Jack, there is so much hope in the world. Don't be dismayed by what you see. There is hope in this world. We serve a mighty God. There are people, again, who are out there that want you to pull away from a bad marriage, a bad situation, things that are not healthy for you, things that are not healthy for your children. Haven is an example. I try and talk to people, old, young, male, female, that there's hope and there's help in the world, and there are people that want to help you. So we reach towards those good things in life, because there are lots of good things in life. If we just take a moment to stop and smell the roses, just look around us and we'll find wonderful things out here.
Dr. Tracy Thompson, yes, there is hope in the world, and you're a shining example of that. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate being here.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasulo. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Small.
Around.